Dana Lash's Absurd Truth Podcast.
So this, and I was looking at, like, you know, I'm looking at all the state by state data where there's, I mean, all of these people, they have like half, some of these states. I was looking at Vegas. I was looking at, you know, I was looking at St. Louis County too. We talked about them yesterday, and I have all of this in my notes. I mean, people were doing what they said to do. And it's crazy because a lot of these places that are implementing these mandates are some of the places that had for the longest time what they call the COVID protocol in place the longest, right?
Yeah.
With the mask wearing and the 6 feet of masks and the distancing and everything else. Just, here's an idea. Just wrap yourself in bubble wrap. Ooh, no, better yet, get you one of those things that it's the they come in super handy, soccer moms, literally, like soccer moms, like if you're on the, it's freezing and you're watching your kid play soccer, and you can get the, it's like the individual tent, and sometimes you can like hook up a little heater to it. I'm not saying that I've done this or have thought about it or planned it out at all. I'm just saying that they allow for such things to be done, and you can be completely isolated from everyone else and also still warm and see people and wave. It's the way to live life if you hate people, which I also think is, you know, not really synonymous with being an introvert, but whatever. So the wearing masks. So 2 weeks now, a couple of weeks. That sounds just too vague for me. How about no? So I was thinking of a friend of mine all morning on this, and she's hysterical because she has this thing of, she has a way of dealing. She grew up in Georgia and she's married to a friend of mine, and it's hysterical because whenever she doesn't like something or doesn't want to do anything, she just says, no, thank you. It doesn't matter what it is. Like, she's done this before when TSA has asked, you know, those things that they have right when you're getting on the plane, like you should already go through this before you even get to the terminal, but they want you to put your bag. Sometimes the ones who are really high on their own farts, they want you to put the bag in the steel thing to make sure that it fits, right? And they make a big point of it. And they tried doing that to her once, and she's like, oh no, thank you. And they're so confused because they don't know. Wait a minute, did we offer her something? Everybody stops. She's like, oh no, thank you. Ma'am, you need to put, no, thank you. And they don't know what to do. She has done this when she's gone into stores and they've tried to tell her to, you know, put a mask on or something. She'll go, oh no, thank you. No, thank you. And then it makes them all confused because they think that they offered her one, but they didn't. And so it gives, they stop and are, you know, the hamster does double time in the wheel in their head, and it gives her enough time to get away. It's actually brilliant. It is so, I can't do that as convincingly as she can. I think if you're from Georgia and you have that accent, or South Carolina, even Alabama, Mississippi, where, if you're from a state where you have an accent, you could, not Boston, not you people. That, no, thank you. I mean, it just doesn't work out the same way, right? You have to have, I think, the Southern accent. You guys could get away with this totally, because I can't even do it. I'm like, no, thank you. It doesn't sound the same, right? I just, she has that cheery kind of Delta Burke sort of, no, thank you. Like, hope you, I love it. But it sounds so polite and you're not offended. There is the psychology of it is brilliant. I feel like I need to like appropriate in the same way that, what's his name? The Baldwin, the guy, Beetlejuice Baldwin, Alec Baldwin.
Alec, yeah.
Like the way his wife appropriated Spanish heritage. I think I just need to do that so I sound super polite when I'm resisting. No, thank you. No, thank you. So I'm just thinking that's maybe all what we should do in something like this. The 2 weeks to slow the spread. So this is the latest from the CDC. Now, this, let me pull, because I have a couple of things here related to this. So England is now skipping quarantine only of vaccinated visitors. Vaccinated visitors only. So that's, I feel, because I don't even think that they're doing the, because I think if you show that you have a negative test, don't you still have to? Every country is so different. So Tokyo set another virus record, 3,000 daily cases. And the way it's reported, it makes it sound like it's fatalities, right?
Right.
Yeah. And then they said that Tokyo governor urges younger people to get vaccinated to slow. But if you have to get vaccinated to slow the virus, and the virus isn't, I mean, you still can get it even with it, apparently. I'm confused. Then how does it slow it? Especially if people say, well, it just means you're going to date it. You're so stupid. Means, this is literally some of the email I got. You're so stupid, you stupid woman. It means that you're not going to go into the hospital or die.
But so then why worry about the unvaccinated then?
Yeah. And also, even when you contract it, what's the fatality or survivability rate, Kane?
Oh, among kids, 99?
No, I mean like general people.
Oh, well, then we're over 99%.
Okay. Well, then why are people saying, well, I guess you just want to die or go to the hospital? Why do they say that?
Again, it's about cases and not deaths. And they just have to hype up the panic. That's literally what they're trying to do.
I don't need people to hype up the panic. I grew up in a dramatic family. I don't need people to do that. You know, it's like I grow up and then I want to get away from the drama and I'll be damned. Now the government's following me. Leave me alone. Stop it. This year, Kel-Tec is celebrating 30 years of game-changing innovation and performance. A privately owned family company that began making one-of-a-kind American-made firearms in 1995. In 1999, Kel-Tec launched their brand on the scene by forever redefining the concealed carry handgun. And from that point on, Kel-Tec continues to innovate and create never-before-seen firearms, pistols, rifles, and shotguns alike, never copying firearms, always innovating new ones. Kel-Tec believes in respect, family, the right to bear arms, and in the love we all have for our great country. They do things right. All Kel-Tec firearms are proudly made right here in America in a true family culture that embraces every employee and where people are genuinely happy to come to work. The Kel-Tec's commitment to innovation and quality truly sets them apart. Find out more about Kel-Tec firearms by visiting KelTecWeapons.com for a deeper dive on all aspects of their innovative firearms. That's KelTecWeapons.com to learn more about my friends at Kel-Tec. Kel-Tec, game-changing innovation and performance.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five, brought to you by Kel-Tec.
So we were talking about some of the economic stuff, and as you know, home prices are surging 17% in May, which is the fastest since, what, I think 2004. So prices for U.S. homes have risen faster in May than they have in 17 years, which is super insanely crazy. The S&P CoreLogic Case-Shiller, they said 20 city home price index they released this yesterday, soared 17% in May from a year earlier on top of the 15% jump in April. So the hottest markets, Phoenix, San Diego, Seattle, those are the top three. So things are changing a little quickly here. Also, a couple of other things. Some medical schools are now teaching that biological sex, and we're going to talk about this, is a social construct. We're going to get into this tomorrow because this is now medicine is politicized. I have three different pieces that I'm going to share with you on this, but they said now that they're actually changing the language in some medical schools where instead of using words like male, female, etc., etc., they're not using those, which how are you able to quickly provide the best care if you're, I mean, that just does not, again, science should not be politicized. I don't get this. Catalina Lauf is she had served in the Trump administration. And he pointed her to the U.S. Department of Commerce, and she has launched her congressional bid. She is challenging Adam Kinzinger. And I keep reading these stories where it says it's a crowded field. Catalina's like the closest to him. Like she's the one who's raised more money than all the other people that are trying to crowd in that Republican primary only have like five-figure fundraising. They can't raise any money. That counts. So out of all of them, she's the one who best stands to primary him. And I love this quote, and we're going to ask her about this. She says, I never thought I'd primary a fellow Republican, but is Congressman Kinzinger really a Republican anymore? That's the million-dollar question. And Catalina joins us now via Skype. Good to see you. Thank you for joining us. And that is the big question. Is he a Republican? Because he doesn't seem like it.
First off, it's an honor to be on with you, Dana. Thank you so much for having me. And no, he's not, which is exactly why Nancy Pelosi appointed him to this commission, because he's a Democrat. This was a kangaroo court from the beginning. They don't want the real answers to the questions. They didn't want to have hard questions there, which is why they denied real conservatives, real Republicans like Congressman Jim Jordan and Jim Banks on that commission. It's a complete joke. It's a facade right where when he first actually went against the president, voting for the second impeachment was the first disgrace. But then since then, he's done nothing but go on MSNBC, CNN. What Republican goes on MSNBC and CNN and goes against the Republican Party? He belittles the constituents. He does absolutely nothing for the district. And we're so proud to be taking him on.
Yeah, that's and that's him going. I think I see him on, and I don't begrudge, you know, and I know you don't either, a Republican candidate or a Republican congressman go. But the fact that he goes on these networks and then runs down, it's almost like he's trying to do everything that he can to stall out or stop any kind of strategy from House Republicans and anything that they're trying to accomplish. I'm just glad that his attention seeking and his focus on trying to make January 6th a thing has prevented him from getting involved in anything related to the budget, because I can't imagine with his I don't see him do anything except get attention for himself. And Catalina, I think that's what I mean. Some of the listeners that are in Illinois in the district, in the 16th district, they're like, well, we don't know where he's actually represented us. And that's the question. What could he be doing? I mean, what do people in the 16th congressional district in Illinois need that he's, I mean, I would imagine it's a lot that he's not doing and surfacing.
No, he's been nowhere to be found. He's one of the typical career politicians. And Dana, we see this all the time on both sides of the aisle. They go to Washington, they forget the voters, they become a part of the swamp. And unfortunately, until we get term limits implemented, it takes strong people that want to go up against them, want to buck the establishment, want to go up against the status quo to hold these guys accountable. The people here in the district, look, it's a heavy manufacturing, it's small business, it's rural America. It's one of the last areas outside of the city of Chicago and Cook County that is still very much Republican before you head further downstate. We are average Americans. We care about gun rights. We care about individual liberties, which frankly, Adam Kinzinger, who voted on H.R. 8, the gun control bill, is vehemently against individual liberties. We care about things like Tax Cuts and Jobs Act, which I was so proud to support as an appointee with the Department of Commerce. That brought huge economic opportunity to this district. When you had manufacturing companies able to thrive, hire more people, be competitive in the landscape. We care about immigration reform and the crisis at the border. We care about kitchen table issues. And he's on this kangaroo court talking about the January 6th commission, belittling Republicans and not getting down to the bottom of what actually happened. He calls us conspiracy theorists. It's a complete joke. Mm-hmm. And the Illinois 16 people are ready to get him out.
I think that's a huge point, too, that you make. We're talking to Catalina Lauf, who is challenging Adam Kinzinger there in the 16th congressional district in Illinois. And you mentioned manufacturing. You mentioned all these issues. Here we have, and I've been following just some of the developments of this budget bill, this budget battle. I know, in the Senate that's happening. And I know that, it's going to have to go through the House. I haven't really heard any of them. As you said, he's been very, very focused on January 6th and using that, I guess, as I understand that people like Liz Cheney and Kinzinger, to an effect, they think that, I guess, that the tables are going to turn. And at some point, the whole idea, this populist movement that has been going now, for the past 8 years, that it's going to just peter out and that Liz Cheney at some point will take over for Kevin McCarthy. And if Republicans reclaim the House, she'll be the majority leader, which I don't really see that happening with her numbers in at all for her reelection. But that just seems to be, I mean, if you're focused on power and not servicing your constituents, I just feel like he's in the wrong industry. You mentioned a number of issues there that I've heard from people in that district, Catalina. And what would you tell people in the 16th congressional district? Because we are heard there. What would you tell people about your chat? Like, why did you decide to get involved and challenge him? I mean, because you could do so many other things. You worked in you were a Trump appointee for the Commerce Department. You understand math. You understand economics. You don't seem like a crier. You're not a crier, right? Are you crier out like?
Absolutely. Only to the Star Spangled Banner.
Good answer. Good answer. Very good answer. What would you tell voters in that district?
It's time for servant leadership. These people, these career politicians, go back to serve one person, and that's themselves. We are heading into very concerning times here. The socialist movement is rampant. The Biden administration is decimating our economy. We're heading into inflation. The numbers do not add up. You mentioned the deficit, Dana. What Republican has even been talking about things like the deficit, debt, getting our books in order? These things really matter to the American American worker, to the American business. I come from a small business. My sister and I have a startup. You know, we understand these everyday issues, and it's time we have outsiders, political outsiders, non-establishment career politicians that aren't afraid to fight for what actually matters. This is a very turning point time in our country's history, and it started with President Trump. He spoke to the American people, and it's time we have better representation in Congress.
There you go. We're talking with Catalina Lauf, who is challenging Adam Kinzinger's 16th congressional district there in Illinois. I love your small business background, and I go back. I was having a conversation with my kids about this because we were trying to understand how is it that so many people in Washington, D.C. do not understand basic math. I realize that there's a huge problem with economic illiteracy in this country. You have the small business background, so you know what it means to make the risk and to be the first to show up and the last to leave. And in this conversation with my kids, I was telling them, you know, it's interesting because when the country was founded, every single person who was going and serving in Washington, D.C., almost everyone was either a farmer, they were a business owner, some kind of merchant. Like, they understood what it took, the sacrifice that it took. They had that real world knowledge, which I think that not a lot of people in D.C. anymore do. I almost feel like it should be a requirement. That adds a lot more to what you're bringing than a lot of other people. Talk a little bit about how that shapes your perspective in dealing with even bigger issues in D.C.
Absolutely. I'll first start out by saying, you know, my mother came here legally from Central America. My father was a small business. We had entrepreneurship and small business, that mentality just ingrained with us, faith, freedom, family values, and ultimately entrepreneurship, the destiny to be your own person, and that this country gives you the opportunity to you can define who you want to be. My sister and I started our company, and it's been, we are the first and the last to leave. It's your baby. And unfortunately, when you have to bring home payroll, when you have to have employees, when you have manufacturing issues, when you're trying to deliver a product that can change the world, that those real world issues really impact, you know, the way that you view everything else. You know, when you look at Washington, the amount of money that they spend, any company would be completely, it wouldn't be able to survive if we spent the money that we did, if we were in the debt that our government is in. And ultimately, it has a trickle-down problem effect. When you are not able to make payroll, it affects another person's family. It affects the community. It affects economic growth all across your town or your community or nationally, whatever your brand or your product that you're selling. And to have that mentality going to Washington, we don't have enough of people who understand the values. And to your point too about our founders, they left their farms, they left their businesses to go to Washington, and they came back because they cared more about what their purpose and what their drive was back home than going and serving in a faraway place to be a part of the swamp. They did their time, which is why we need term limits, I think, desperately. And until that happens again, we need to hold these people accountable. We need to bring in political outsiders, people that actually understand what it takes, the grit and the hard work that makes this country possible. And that happens with the small business community and entrepreneurs.
I love small business folks as going in and being a part of Washington. I do think that a person's vote is the term limit. I think that should be the ultimate, because I hate giving Washington, D.C. more power. But I'm all about sending small business people to Washington, D.C., because I'm going to tell you what, nobody can stretch a dollar more than someone who's been in small business. Nobody can do a budget like somebody who has run their own business. I mean, you know exactly what you got to cut from, where you have to offset. And I just think, why we need those people doing that, not somebody like the Bernie Sanders or the Nancy Pelosi's or any of these other people who've never been in the private sector and they've never, ever had to worry about meeting payroll. They've never had to do any of this. Catalina, tell everybody where they can find you online.
Yes, you can head to CatalinaForCongress.com and Catalina Lauf on all social media platforms.
Perfect.
Also, big Alice in Chains girl as well. So,
yeah, and good music taste. She doesn't cry. She understands math, and she has a good music
taste.
I heard
she likes Def Leppard too.
I love Def Leppard.
Oh my gosh! That's awesome. That's very cool. See, there we go, right there. Just, I think that should also be. Just sidebar, that should also be part of like any consideration. Does your candidate have good music taste? There you go. For over 40 years, Delta Rescue has provided dedication and everlasting love to animals that have been left abandoned. Delta is the largest no-kill and care-for-life animal sanctuary in the world. This super sanctuary is home to up to 1,500 animals that have been cruelly abandoned or born in the wilderness and cares for every animal for the entirety of that animal's life. Every animal at Delta Rescue receives the very best of care, and Delta relies solely on donor contributions from people like you for that care. By being a part of the Delta mission, you are the difference between life and death for so many of these animals. Donate today at deltarescue.org, or for more information on Delta's tax saving estate planning, visit directly deltarescue.org/Dana and ask for my free estate package. It lays out all you need to know about growing your estate while letting your compassion for animals live well into the future. This is only available at deltarescue.org/Dana. Show your dedication and everlasting love and make your legacy work for the animals. Visit deltarescue.org/Dana today.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
All right. So first and foremost here, this is, I did not realize that this could get like totally out of hand like this. This comes from the Florida Sun Sentinel. One man dies. Another is hit by a boat propeller on the opening day of lobster season. That sounds really hardcore. And it is. One man was airlifted to the hospital. The one who was hit by the propeller, first day of lobster mini season. And authorities got a call from a 911 call around 8:30 in the morning. The injured man, his leg was hit by a propeller in the water off the Lower Keys, and he was taken to Sugarloaf Keys, airlifted to a Miami hospital. His injuries are serious. Then, entirely separately, another guy went for lobsters around 7 a.m., and he was struggling in the water around Sawyer Key, and he lost consciousness. So, we like lobster, we don't want it that bad, okay? So, everybody kind of calm down and maybe, you know, don't kill yourself trying to get lobster. Good heavens. And the guy who hit his leg with it, I'm surprised his leg, and it didn't say that his leg was just propellered off, but I can't imagine how it would not be. Your leg hits a boat propeller? Right. Jiminy.
It's worse than a shark bite.
Yeah. Yeah. That actually is they found something that's actually worse than a shark bite with us.
Thanks for tuning in to today's edition of Dana Lash's Absurd Truth Podcast. If you haven't already, make sure to hit that subscribe button on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.